So just very quickly, some information about the book of Jude. So Jude, this Jude here was not the Jude that betrayed Jesus. This is the Jude, half-brother, brother of James, but half-brother of Jesus Christ as well. So the book was written between 65 and 80 AD. The audience that this book was written to was Christians who are being threatened by false teachers, And the theme of this book, Jude was writing to warn those Christians about these false teachers who were trying to convince them that being saved by grace gave them a license to do whatever they want, to sin. So kind of like this is a good message to follow up after Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even after the service, we had some, you know, good questions about like, you know, now that there is no condemnation, now that I know that my sin is like paid, you know, the past ones, the present, but even my future sins are paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, and Jude is writing because there were some people back then, and they are everywhere now, who was actually, you know, teaching that, who were actually like, hey, you know, let's just live our lives the way we want, and we are saved. Jesus died for us. So the purpose was, you know, to encourage these Christians for a faith defense, you know, a defense against like heresy, against, you know, error that was being taught and by these false teachers. So the practical application, it's the exhortation for all the Christians of all time to contend for the faith, to fight against wrong teachings, to fight against lies that really hurt the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. So for Jude, it was very imperative that his readers would be on guard, that they would be prepared to address and to oppose to this false, you know, teaching with the truth of God's word, with the truth of God's grace. And I believe, you know, as we look around in this world of ours, I believe that we need to be on guard and we need to be prepared, because I'm telling you, you know, people are going crazy out there in their thoughts, in their hearts, and even Christians, you know, with some ideas that, you know, you can't really like fit into the Bible. You know, so it is important for us, because the more that you hear, there is a tendency to become numb to some ways of thinking and to some practice, and to think like, well, you know, at the end of the day, Jesus will forgive us, and so what, you know. But it's not quite like that. It's really quite not like that. So that's why Jude wrote this. So we read already, but I'm going to read again, starting on verse 1. Jude, who was a servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who have been called, to those who are loved in God the Father, to those who are kept in Jesus Christ. And I love this. You are, I am, a child of God, who has been called by God, I am loved by God, and I am kept by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. That's good news for us today, isn't it? You are called by God. And that, you know, it's a reference about, you know, your past. You are loved by God. It's a reference about the presence right now. And you are kept by Jesus Christ, a reference about your future. And he starts just like that. You know, I'm talking to you, loved ones of God. To you, he says in verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be in abundance. Sunday morning, for all of us here, you know, God is saying, you know, to you, my dear children, you know, mercy, peace, and love be yours. Take it. Be yours. And that be in abundance. God who created everything, right? God who owns everything. There is no limit for his mercy, for his peace, for his love. He wants us to have that and to have that in abundance. He will never fall short of that. We might be on the receiving side, not really with our channels of heart and mind open, but it is ours. It is ours. So this morning, right from the beginning of this message, receive from God mercy, peace, and love. And then verse 3, he says, dear friends, although I was eager to write you about the salvation that we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to us, to God's holy people. The reason why for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago, they have secretly slipped in among you, and they are ungodly people. They are ungodly people. Their business is to pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. And they deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. So, you know, the message here, it's very clear. And it's a message that it is very, very important to all of us. And Jude, he was like, you know, I wanted to talk to you about the amazing salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm feeling compelled by the Spirit to talk about something that it's, you know, even more important right now, because we are being attacked. We are being attacked. You know, the people of God back then was being attacked. And I believe, I don't know about you, I believe that in many ways, you know, as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we are being attacked by ungodly people that don't know the Lord. And the plan is to pervert the grace of God and use it as a license for immorality. And at the end, you know, they clearly denied the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude was like, you know, I need you to be on guard. I need you to be prepared to contend, to stand firm for the faith that was entrusted to you. And the word faith here, it's really talking about the body of truth that was given to them. So for me and you, you know, Jesus Christ gave it to us, God gave it to us, a body of truth that we put faith on. We believe, right? And God wants us to guard. God wants us to stand firm. Hebrews 4:14, it says this, we are called to hold firmly to the faith that we profess, to this body of truth that we have been taught. I mean, think about the blessings that comes in this package of truth that we have got from God, our Father, from our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, there is a deposit that have been, you know, being done in our lives. I don't know for how many years you are walking with Christ, walking, you know, with the Lord and in fellowship with him. But, you know, there is a deposit of faith that have been done in our lives. Something have been like written in our hearts. The truth of the gospel, the truth of salvation, the truth of the plan of God. You know, God has given us this body of truth. And now he's like, you know, I want you to embrace the truth, and I don't want you to be robbed from the truth that was entrusted to you, was given to you. And that is our job. And the reason why, you know, we need to be prepared, the reason why we need to be on guard, it's because, you know, it's very subtle, right? That these false teachers, these ungodly people, you know, they were doing whatever they like to do without any inhibition, without any restraint, because they had really no fear of God. But they were saying at the end, you know, God is graceful. God will understand that. You know, go ahead and do whatever you want. God will understand at the end. And that we know it's not really the relationship that we have with God. So Jude was, you know, warning his brothers and sisters about them because they were infiltrating the church. And it was, you know, a big thing. It was a big thing. It was a big problem. And unfortunately, we don't have time to go into verses. Like, there are some examples, you know, into verses like 15 to 16, and we don't have time to go over those verses. But I want to jump, you know, to verse 17 to 22, because these are the verses that help us to be prepared, help us to be on guard. You know, how me and you, we can be on guard with the things that we hear, with the things that are in the stories, you know, in the movies, all around us, that can easily pervert the body of truth that we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 17, it says this, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you that in the last times there will be scoffers, people who mocked about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Take it for very little, take it for nothing, right? Scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires." Hey, I was there before. I was there when I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was following just my own desires. My life was all about me. But then, you know, something happened. Someone presented to me the gospel. Someone presented to me the God's plan for my life through Jesus Christ and receiving salvation in Jesus Christ. And when I open up my heart to Jesus, he made, you know, this body here his temple, as he has made with you all. And if you have received Jesus, and now, you know, he is inside of you. And he doesn't want us to be robbed. And now, because he is inside of us, we are not living life as we used to. Now we have the Spirit of God inside of us. We have the Word of God that inform us, you know, how to live. Because God created you with a plan. You are not here, you know, just as, what's the word in English that, just as it disappeared for my vocabulary. You are not here as what is the word? Sorry. A what? Passive. What else? Bystander. What else? There is another word that I'm looking for. Expectator. Okay, it's all that. It will come to me in a minute here. Oh boy, yeah. That was, you know, my vocabulary was cut by like 60% when I moved to the United States of America. So, but you still can understand me. You are here with a purpose. We are here with a purpose, right? Our lives count. You know, everybody, our lives count. So God has a plan for each one of our lives. So he wants us to be aware of these scoffers. You know, verse 19, it says, "These are people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and they do not have the Spirit of God. And again, we were there. We were there. But, you know, these people, they are there with a purpose, right? So in verse 20 and 21, Jude said, by you that have been called, you who are loved, you who are kept by the Lord Jesus Christ, you, I want you to know how to persevere. I want you to know how to be faithful in times where, you know, people are selling out for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know to how to rightly contend for the body of truth that was given to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he tells us how. Verse 20 and 21. He says, you, dear friends, and four things that he gives us here that I never forgot since the first time that I learned about this. Number one, he says, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. That's a way to contend. That's a way to fight. That's a way to be on guard. That's a way to protect yourself against, you know, false teachers with their false teachings. You know, you build yourself up in the holy, holy faith. Number two, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, I want you to keep yourself in the love of God. And then number four, I want you to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. So four things here. Build yourself up in the holy, in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God and wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to park here, you know, just for a little while, because these are so good. Building yourself up in the most holy faith, talking about personal edification, talking about you building yourself up on purpose. And how do we do that? How do we do that on a daily basis? That's why we encourage people to read the Bible, right? Open up God's word. You know, I believe that when we are praying, you know, it's us talking to God. But when we open up God's word, it's God talking to us. And God wants to have that two-way conversation, right? I talk to him in prayer. I open my heart. I tell him about, you know, my sins, and I confess to him. But also, I open up my ear, and I open up my heart, and I receive God's word. So opening up God's word, it's very important for our personal edification, because God wants us to be builders, and he wants you and me to build ourselves, you know, contrary to those false teachers. Their plan was to destroy people's faith. And God is calling us, no, I want you to build yourself up in the most holy faith. God wants me and you to grow in our faith. And those false teachers, they wanted people to just, you know, let it go of their faith. Let it go of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9-10, it says this, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. And by the grace that has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Each one of us, we should build with care. Build who? Build yourself up. How? Open up God's word. Right? Be with a group of like-minded people. who are building themselves up. That's why I like small groups as well. It's an opportunity for what? For us to build ourselves up. It's an opportunity that the day that I'm weak, the day that I am, you know, carrying so many burdens, you know, and I am with, you know, my brothers and sisters, we get encouraged, we get edified. I might be weak a day or two, and we all have been there, and we all go through tribulations and problems. But see, if we are not alone, you know, it's important for us to do it alone, but when we are together, we encourage one another, we build ourselves up together. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's something that God wants us to be careful on, how we build ourselves up. Hey, you know, God wants to make you more and more, you know, beautiful. You know, he, you are a building. I love this next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says that we are a living dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Next time you look yourself in the mirror, don't believe the lies that comes, but believe what God says about you. You are called, you are loved, you are kept, you are a living dwelling place, and the Holy Spirit of God lives right inside of you. Amen. And he wants you to embrace this truth. He wants you to see yourself in the mirror like that, and he wants you to keep building upon that foundation. So, you know, we build with care. Point number two, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that, you know, this topic of prayer, you know, we could spend the whole day here to talk about this topic specific, but he's talking about, you know, prayers that comes from hearts and souls. They are in habit, illuminated, and full of the Holy Spirit. How do we get full of the Holy Spirit? You know, we present ourselves daily as a living sacrifice, and we ask God, would you fill me? Would you fill me? We already have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but God wants us to be full, meaning he wants us, you know, the Holy Spirit to be guiding and showing the way and controlling and dominating our thoughts and actions. He wants me and you to be full of the Holy Spirit. And when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we can pray in the direction, in the initiative, in the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit in all occasions with kinds of prayers and requests. See, the Holy Spirit of God, he wants to be an essential agent when me and you pray. You know, and I know that sometimes, you know, you're sitting down to eat, right? And you know, we do like quick prayers, right? And there's no problem in doing that. But I believe that what he's talking about here is the fact that, you know, when it comes to prayer, sometimes we need to, I think it was A.W. Tozer that says that sometimes we need to pray until we start praying. Meaning, we need to pray until we can move past that initial, you know, moment of maybe distractions, maybe disconnection. You know, it's kind of hard, I'm telling you, to, you know, I'm going to take this time to pray. It's hard. And especially if you have a phone close to you. You know, it's hard to concentrate. It's hard not to be distracted. But man, something happened when me and you, we give the time and the space for the Holy Spirit to drive us in our prayers, to direct us in our prayers, to be that agent in our prayers. These are prayers in the Spirit. It's prayers that are motivated enable it and energized by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, when that happens, it's amazing. Amen. It's amazing. You know, people that are close to you, they might look at you and they might not understand. Who are you talking to? What's going on here? You know, you are talking to, you know, the wall. You are, you know, kind of like, you know, looking like inside. No, you are connecting with God. And it does take time set aside for that to happen. But a way for us to be on guard, a way for us to protect our minds and heart, is to learn how to pray in the Spirit. And I promise you, you know, the more that you practice, the more that this develops. You know, maybe in the beginning is hard, but the more that you practice, you talk to people that prayer, it's a great value for them. And just spending time in prayer, you know, the more that we do it, we learn how to focus, and we learn how to pray after we start praying. And that's a beautiful thing. Point number three, and I need to finish here in 5 minutes. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Wasn't John the apostle who said, do you know what? I am the one who Jesus loved. Why not me and you? Put on a John one and say, do you know what? I am the one who God loves. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. And God wants us to keep ourselves in His love. And here, it's a simple thing. Keep on receiving God's love. And keep on responding to God's love. You know, when you read a verse about God's love, when, you know, a song that you sing, you look at yourself and you go like, yes, God loves you. He does. You know, you are something else for Him. He loves you. He cares about you. So we keep on, you know, this called here, it's not like, it has nothing to do with like us performing, you know, for our salvation, as if we are the ones that, you know, we keep ourselves in the love of God. It's not that. Salvation, it's all done by God, you know, through our faith in Jesus Christ. But God wants me and you to keep on receiving, to keep on being open to God's love. You know, Jude, he said, you know, the one who is able, verse 24, he said, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with a great joy. So we know the one who keeps us to the end, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wants us to keep on receiving his love. Remember the message from last week? Nothing, Romans 8:39, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. We believe that. We speak that in the air. You know, the enemy is trying to put us down and to say, do you think God really loves you? You know, you go like, no, God really loves me. I know it for sure. Nothing can separate me, you know, from his love. He told me, John 15, 9 and 10, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So remain in my love. Remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. Words of Jesus, remain in his love. Be the one, the follower of Jesus Christ, who Jesus really loves. He looks at you, he looks at me, and he has a smile. Not because we are perfect, but because we have been perfected by the blood in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are all, in the eyes of God, little children, right? And, you know, to be able to say, I am the one. He loves me. My Father loves me. He loves to hear that. He loves that attitude. He doesn't like the attitude where we lose touch. And this is the word in Revelation, you know, 2:4 was something that John told the church, you know, in Ephesus. He says, you know, don't lose touch with the love of God. You know, he said, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You don't love me as you did at first. And this is just like, you know, not responding daily to God's initiative of love. I promise you, God will initiate love towards you daily. But the question is, are you responding? Are you receiving? Are you with your channel, you know, ears, heart, mind, open to receive God's love and to let Him tell you, you know, I love you. And the importance of doing that, it's because the love of God protects us. Protect our hearts, protect our minds, protect our soul, protect our emotions, God's love. And finally, you know, point number 4, he says, and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Charles, he mentioned this here, you know. Waiting for the mercy here speaks exactly about waiting for the actual return of Jesus Christ. See, those teachers, those false teachers, those liars, they were denying completely the Lord Jesus Christ. But here comes Jude and he's like, you are not those. You are part of the ones that are like, you know, excited in expectation for His coming. You are the ones confessing Jesus Christ. Yes, He told us that He would go, but He will come back and He will take us, you know, for Him. You know, we are waiting as well for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His second coming, it will be as fact, the consummation of His mercy. Titus 2:13, it says that, you know, we wait for the blessed hope. We wait for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, you know, Paul said, you know, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And Paul said, not only to me, but He will award this crown of righteousness to all those who have longed for His appearing. For all those who have this great expectation, you know, He is on the way. He is on the way. So, you know, these are the ways that our brother Jude, long, long time ago, taught us that we can be on guard, we can be protected if we keep on building ourselves up in our faith. If we keep like praying and let the God, you know, direct us in our prayers to the Holy Spirit. If we keep ourselves in the love of God, and if we have this big expectation, just like He said, it will be. And He will come back to prove everything. He already came back once, and He proved Himself on the cross. Sure enough, He will come a second time for the consummation of all things. And we, see, we believe that with all our hearts. We rejoice in that with all our hearts. And that is good news from Jude to us today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so very much for God's word. And thank You for these simple words here in the book of Jude. Father, just help us. Help us every single day to grow in our relationship with You. To grow in our prayers, motivated and energized by the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to have that attitude of John. I am the one who Jesus Christ loved. We all are the one who Jesus Christ so much loved. And Father, when it comes for the future, there are so many things that we expect. But the biggest one, Lord, that we expect that is that you will come. Justice will be installed. Things will be squared off with the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with those things today, we encourage ourselves. With that body of truth that was entrusted to us, we are on guard. And we deny, Lord, anything else contrary to what you have given us in Scripture, the truth that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. We praise you. We love you today. And it's in Jesus' name that we do that. Amen.